Welcome back to Videorama, where we take your request for a topic and give you our recommendations. We received a request from another customer asking for movies with the theme of reality is the nightmare. My name is Linda Castro. ¿Puedes llamarme La Quesa? ¿Este es mi hermano?
No, es hermano. bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Donny Espano.
Oh. Where's your squiggly spiral in your bugs?
In my pants.
Damn.
Oh.
I have boils. It hurts to walk. You don't want to know. But now you know.
On an unrelated note, I watched both Antonio Banderas' Mask of Zorro movies this week.
I'm sorry. So, why are we talking in Californian Spanish?
Because we're from California, and that's just how we talk down there. We wear funny hats. We work at taco stands. We're from California. Well, I'm from Southern California, so me more so.
We're from Southern California, too.
You're from my face. You're from my face's ass.
I thought we weren't talking about that on the show.
You Stockton dirty whores.
No, before Stockton, we were in Southern California.
Bite me. Go over here. I'm tired. I don't care.
I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I either have pneumonia or bronchitis, so I couldn't.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I didn't have time to or energy to research this as much as I wanted to. So, sure, yeah, sorry about that. I was excited for the topic to be chosen because I absolutely love this movie. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. And it is, of course, Guillermo del Toro's Pan's Labyrinth or The Labyrinth of the Fawn. Give it, it's not actually Anne.
Hellboy 3.
Electric Booga Tree? What? I don't know. Excuse me.
Turtles in Time.
Secret of the Ooze. So, yes, we're talking about Pan's Labyrinth today. And I do have some stuff for you guys, but we will be getting into that, of course.
We're gonna get all the way up into that.
All up in it.
Eventually.
So yes, I chose this movie because obviously Ophelia's reality is pretty goddamn dark. It is a nightmare. It is after the Spanish Civil War, and fascists are still in power.
You trying to talk shit on Generalissimo Francisco Franco?
Maybe.
What? Why, he was our great leader. He was like the Ronald Reagan of Spain.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And It came out 15 years ago, 2006. I remember the adventure of seeing it with Donnie and some of his friends in Olympia. Yeah. God, that was. We went to a theater we were running late, and I tried to pay for all of our tickets, and she said, "Oh, we don't believe in plastic." I was like, believe
it. What the fuck theater were you at?
Dude, it gets better.
It's like, it's real. But, so
we don't believe in like paying taxes, man. That's what they're really saying.
We had to go find an ATM to get the cash. So that was a blast.
Yeah, but what was there in the theater with us? Do you recall a magical moment?
Wearing his trench coat.
Dude.
Take a shit? I don't remember.
Dude, there was a person. We think it was the theater owner, or it was just a regular there. the dude had a fucking parrot on his shoulder. It was a bright blue parrot fucking on the dude's shoulder while we're watching the goddamn movie.
This is all making so much more sense now. Okay. Plastic dude with a parrot. Were you in Olympia at this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty close. Yeah.
You know where it was.
Yeah, this was one of those, it's like, it was the only fucking theater within a couple miles of us actually showing the goddamn thing. Because everyone else is like, no, no subtitle movie, no.
Yeah, well.
English here.
You should have seen the outpouring of joy I got when this hit home video. Everybody heard the buzz, but they didn't listen to any details about the buzz.
Yeah.
This was just a fucking joy at the Hollywood video. It's like, yeah, it's Del Toro. He made this movie, but it's Spanish Civil War. It's got fantasy and stuff. They're like, oh, cool. This will be great for my kids.
Yeah.
Like, they make parents watchdog sites for idiots like you, you know.
But that's one thing I loved about it was that it's like a fairy tale for adults. It's magical realism, and it's in the same wheelhouse as Neil Gaiman and maybe even Stephen King. We're all fans of Guillermo del Toro.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah,
I like hearing him talk.
The Grimm's fairy tales it pretty much is in line with those, but
yeah,
still, it's also just a very wondrous tale of what's going on in her reality.
Children's fantasy used to be a lot more violent until L. Frank Baum came along with the Oz books, and that's what started pacify it and possibly Disney-fy it.
Yeah,
that's sort of where it
was. Christian, like a...
Well, wasn't Christian necessarily. Remember, we didn't really become this so-called Christian nation until the 50s.
But I know that... you know, Guillermo del Toro has always had a love for fairy tales and folklore, mythology. In fact, he said that the important thing was keeping the fairy tale simple. And Hollywood tends to try to explain the magic, and it just, his words, it castrates it. It castrates the magic when you explain it. And
we know that's true in horror.
Yeah. Yeah. And like sometimes just like with Twin Peaks, like the best thing you could do is not explain it. Not explain a goddamn thing.
And don't be a fucking idiot watching it on your telephone.
But he says like
idiot.
Don't explain it, but just let it be. And the hardest thing to do in art is capture that simplicity. So
that and saying sorry.
Good job. But speaking of Stephen King, as I just was, he said that he got the chance to sit next to Stephen King as they were watching the movie. And excuse me. Stephen King started squirming when the
blow.
Man showed up.
What's the eyeball man?
Huh?
Which man?
The pale man. The
child eating eyeball man.
Yes, he keeps referring to him as the ogre of the story.
No, es mano, man.
No. Oh, yes. Yeah, he's not human. So, yeah, it's basically that guy. But he said that was basically just a dream come true for him, of course, because, I mean, he's making Stephen King squirm. So, I mean, hey, he said, quote, it was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life.
Oh. Hey, dreams do come true.
Yes, we're done. But, yeah, this was supposed to be a companion piece to The Devil's Backbone, but, Devil's Backbone took place in Spain in 1939, so just before this, and, it was released, Sorry, that was my dog going.
For the record, Linda has no dogs. She just farted in her own room.
That's true.
Which is so also an elevator.
No, it's anus gaso in your room.
No, espero.
Donna, you cunning linguist, you.
Really. So, it, oh, god damn it. I just
gotta realized. Keep it real compared to what?
He farted in his sleep. But,
he's dreaming about farting on rabbits.
Your reality is the nightmare.
It really is. But, anyway, this, the Devil's Backbone opened in Spain, 5 months before September 11th and, opened in the U.S. 2 months after. And, he said in an interview that, the world changed. Everything I had to say about brutality and innocence changed. So that heavily influenced.
And then the American audience was like, what's this? They talking that foreign talk. Mm-hmm. That's that Bin Laden language. I'll tell you what.
Boy. That ain't no American.
That ain't let's talk American.
Donde este burrito?
A bunch of guys with banjos went and beat up the projector. Yeah, that's how it happened.
When we went to, God damn it, where did we go? We went to like an all-inclusive resort. Which was just like, it was beautiful because there's so much drinking in, Cancun. And I kept telling Carlo that I was going to embarrass him by being as white as I can, saying shit like, donde este burrito?
And saying, wow, this is just great. It's just great.
Yo quiero a taco. Por favor. But generally, I don't like, my food being spit in, so and I was still trying, like hoping that he would marry me eventually, so I did not do it. But anywho, so yeah, what's this about? It's about this young girl, Ophelia, whose mother it has been impregnated and married a generalissimo, fashion.
Sleeping with the enemy.
General. Yes. And they've just been sent for in the countryside where he is ruling with an iron fist. And.
Stabbing and shooting lots of guys.
Yes. And it's established that she reads too many fairy tales. She believes in the fairy tales too much. And she needs to grow up, blah, blah, blah. And there are rebels hiding in the caves and stuff in the mountains, and they're still trying to fight them back. And in the meantime, she is Ophelia meets the Faun, not Pan, and. The Faun tells her that she is the princess of the underworld.
That's what he always tells me.
Oh, hell.
Like, that's how he always gets me in bed. Like, Doug Jones always comes to me and says, you know you're the princess of the underworld. And I'm like, oh, Doug Jones.
Although I prefer my guys have bangs, just saying.
You prefer your guys bang?
No. He's thinning. You know, it's like Elfano there, you know. Yeah. Mm.
So anywho, yeah,
in mi corazón.
He says that her father has placed three portals around the world for her. And, there are three trials that she must complete before the, full moon. So she could show that she is worthy of coming back to the underworld and serving as princess. And, craziness ensues. So.
Just don't get caught hunting rabbits around there. It won't end well for you.
Well, especially if you have a bottle of wine with you.
They should open with that. Maybe
have
they
you
live.
Seen Irreversible? Especially the bikini.
It's pretty god awful because apparently that was based on two things that happened in real life. One was a fascist general went into a market, and one guy refused to take his hat off for him. So he beat his face in with a with the butt of his pistol and took his groceries. But also, this is also really fucked up. Apparently, Guillermo del Toro, and he just talks about it like it's nothing. Like, it's just like, I went out for groceries yesterday. He and his friend got in a fight, a street brawl, and he was beaten with a chain while his friend was beaten in the face with a bottle. And he said that the thing that stuck out most in his memory was the, like, thinking that the bottle wouldn't break, because, like, he said, like, in the John Wayne movie,
it's a face.
The bottle breaks. But the bottle did not break. So,
to be fair, a lot of countries back there take things seriously like this. Like Vlad Tepish, when the hat was not removed in greeting to him, he told them to drive a stake through the man's head to keep the hat on him so that he'll remember it. But he was dead, so...
It's kind of self-defeating at that point.
Trying to take your hat off.
Yeah. Well, now we don't even wear hats anymore. Whoosh!
Yeah.
Unless we're hipster douchebags.
Yeah.
I like to wear my hats that have, like, cute little animals on them.
Also, but, you know, talk back to the police unless you do want to be beaten. I mean,
Spanish
it's not
Civil
be
War.
A
I mean, the fuck? They just, like, get a village full of people into an arena and be like, you guys are communists, right? Oh, I'm sure you are. And they'd mow them down, and then the arena would be 2 inches deep in blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, but kind of a funny story.
Fun times.
Not
so
funny.
If you were some kind of gay-ass commie who didn't like massacres and shit, you'd be a big old commie like Pablo Picasso. Stupid commie. Jeez. Take your Guernica and shove it in your butthole, commie.
That is actually a fact that lawyers tell you. If you're being talked to by the police, don't fight them. Do not disagree with them. Fight them in the courtroom.
They are so horny to get their finger on that trigger finger.
Yes.
Like, you just don't give them
do any, not give them a reason.
Even if you're in the police station and in cuffs, they're like, whoa, no sudden moves. Whoa.
Yeah. Unless you're, like, gonna start, you know, doing shotgun sound effects because that's your thing. You like making sound effects with your mouth, and then it's gonna be hilarious. But not.
Yeah, only John McClane can get away with that.
Yeah. For those of you watching on YouTube, I, for some reason, my react button, like, had expanded the menu, and I did not mean to press the heart react button at that.
But you did.
I'm not, like, yay, beating people, yay.
Linda just can't even get started without a beating. Like,
yeah, it's like coffee. In the morning. It's like, how many people below me do I get to beat and put under a bus?
Where's our Ellen DeGeneres?
You know me.
Oh.
Generalissimo. La Queso, they call me.
Generalissimo Cheeso.
What was the name of the guy from Soap? It was El Porco or something like that.
I cannot recall now.
I think it was El Porco.
I don't know who he is, but I know who Amy is.
Who Amy?
Amy? Amy, what happened? What did you do? Amy, this is serious. Damn it!
Hit the O, Adrian?
Where is it, Amy? Where is my money?
Did we go fucking scanners?
Where that money at? Oh!
Oh.
So, this came out, like, you know... Well, okay, this came out at the Cannes Film Festival in May of 2006, and then it went to Spain and Mexico in October.
October.
And it, what, Wenda? What?
Never mind. Just keep going.
It cost the $19 million and it made the $83 million.
Damn.
Wish I was your lover. And in that, well, not you. Fuck you. No. no.
Where's that Adrian Charm?
It went to America in December of 2006 because we're all like, oh, one of those brown movies. We don't want that coming too fast. That's from Mexico.
Just like Our Lovers. We don't want them coming too fast.
Oh, she's got a million of them.
Oh, God damn it. I need to go to sleep.
And we all do, but that's okay. It is, this movie in the United States was number 20.
20!
And it opened. Yeah, 20! Whee! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. what were people seeing instead? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number 1 was Night at the Museum.
Oh, God.
Number 2 was Pursuit of Happiness with the Smith family.
Happiness.
Oh, yeah, yes, your happiness, my child. Yeah. Yeah, that's when Jaden got forced on the world. Thank you, Will Smith.
Thanks, Will Smith.
Then Dreamgirls and that CGI Charlotte's Web. Oh, and Rocky VI.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Aragon.
Oh, God, I remember that movie.
Yeah, you remember. We Are Marshall. Remember We Are Marshall? Happy Feet. The Holiday!
Blood Diamond. Queen Latifah.
And Casino Royale in its 45th week. Hmm. Yeah, we just can't hold on to it. That Apocalypto, the Black Christmas remake.
Oh, was Apocalypto the Apocaracist movie?
Well, it's by Mel Gibson, so yeah, of course it is. It's like, you know something, that natives to South America just aren't as good as Spaniards. Did you know that? But at least they're better than certain people. Then Unaccompanied Minors. Then Deja Vu. Then The Queen. Then Borat! In its 57th week. Then Pan's Labyrinth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're Americans. Let's see some shitty Christmas movies and not something that might be okay. Should we see good Christmas movies? Like, those don't exist. Shitty.
What are you talking about?
Well, we all know that Pan's Labyrinth is just the Spanish version of the Santa Claus story. You know, Fano, he's Santa. You know?
Obviously. Dudley Moore is within us all.
Dudley Moore.
Obviously.
After this film, you'll be telling me all your secrets. We'll be the bestest of friends.
Your parents are holding you back. Burn the house down.
Oh, God, I miss that man. He's like, we need to cover a movie of his because he had a very rich life. A sad story. But anyhow.
You can't do is fall in love.
So
Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth, everybody. I guess that means it's time to share some knowledge.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I know things.
Sometimes. But we all know things, don't we?
She does.
I don't.
Okay. No audio?
No, because you actually said you did away with that segment.
Oh. Okay, I did. Okay, well, how about that? So,
the title card.
Linda. Don't judge me for wearing my onesie pajamas.
It's only sucking you into the void.
Fuckers, you're lucky I got a shirt on.
Well, both of you keep kind of going into the void as well, but anywho.
This is going to be a fun video, people. Your camera's doing wondrous things.
Don't One of watch us is robo-tripping. And I'll let you guess who it is. Let's see. After being disappointed with the way that the translators translated for the subtitles of Devil's Backbone, Guillermo del Toro decided that he was going to do this one himself. In fact, he called the subtitles for the Devil's Backbone, quote, subtitles for the thinking impaired. So I think we know how he feels about that.
Are we imperiled by the government? No, our leader is true. Hooray. Oh, dear. We must fear the ghost. Indeed, we must. Ha ha.
Uh-huh. So he also told in an interview that he was very disappointed with the complacency of the Catholic Church with during the Spanish Civil War. So he had a bit of a
bone to pick with them. They ignored the Holocaust too. So
I mean, Church. Yeah, woohoo. So excuse me. So he incorporated a bit of that into this movie, including the priest at the dining table who says, "God has already saved their souls. What happened to their bodies? Well, it hardly matters to him." When he was talking about the dead rebels. But it was actually taken from a real speech that a priest used to give to rebel prisoners in the fascist camps. So that was neat.
And then they said, huh, what's a little Inquisition between friends?
Yeah, right. Inquisition. Here we go. But for him, for Del Toro, the Pale Man represented, / Ogre, represented the Catholic Church. And he represents, quote, fascism and the church eating the children when they have a perversely abundant banquet in front of them, end quote. And speaking of which, I have it in my notes that when I get rich, which is inevitable, I want to have a dining hall, like a very lovely dining hall built with, like the ceiling decorated with paintings of me eating children.
I could make that happen right now. I could just Photoshop your head onto that Saturn devouring his children painting.
By Goya.
Speaking of the Catholic Church devouring children, I also watched The Boys of St. Vincent this week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. What comes after Rapier? Well,
I watched Fugitive Island.
What's that one? That sounds good already.
It's a place where they send prisoners to an island and women get sent there as well, but the women get used for the sexins and they don't like it. So suddenly there's a war between the prisoners and it becomes a game of survival. It was, it was a thing. You got to see a man get his like junk lathered in honey and his ass in honey by a woman that he thought was going to do the sexins to him.
But it was only
to attract a whole lot of bees to him. And he went going, and jumped into a lake. It was very
dramatic.
That's
the one with Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. 70s kind of TV movie sort of thing.
I know that I've got an innie and not an outie, but I don't think that honey would be very delightful there.
Yeah.
It sounds sticky and gross.
Piers Anthony would disagree with you. But Piers Anthony's sick.
Isn't Piers Anthony a little
He also wrote the book The Color of Her Panties.
Yeah.
He has the quest to guess the color of the queen's panties so that she will then marry him.
Isn't that like in real life?
That's like the PG end of his shit too. Like,
and then she had to dance the dance of the three snakes.
Go home.
This is back when nobody would read what was put out for as young adult fiction. They'd just sort of go to press, be like, whatever. Those kids can't read. And then later on, these kids grew up like, wow. You know, when I was 12, I didn't notice all the dildos.
I've been watching a lot of Full Moon Entertainment now that thanks to Donnie for letting me know about their awesome deal they had going. And it's wonderful to kind of reminisce about our childhood and all the movies we shouldn't have been watching. Like I was going through the movie choices, and I was like, Emmanuel, I wonder how she's doing. I was like, we watched that. Fuck. Like, where the hell were our parents?
Yeah, your childhood trauma is a little different than the standard one, I must say. Guys are watching Debbie doing Dallas and such. Like, meanwhile, I'm getting traumatized by PG-rated movies.
It's honestly, the story behind the two Debbie Does Dallas films and the actress in that is very, very interesting to find out if you care to go look it up online. Not a happy story, but an interesting story.
Oh,
she get paid in smack?
No. Let's just say it has something to do with the mafia and her suddenly going missing forever.
Oh,
wow.
Speaking of, with this movie, the main thing I remembered way, 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 way back was that when he was trying to come up with the theme that ultimately came up to be the Labyrinth theme, it was something that he said that when he comes up with things like this, he likes to run it past his daughters. And if it's something that they start humming and it sticks with them, then he knows he has what he wanted, which a lot of his stories are like that. He comes up with them and then he goes and shares it with them. And as long as they found it entertaining and they enjoyed it, then he's like, okay, that gives me my green light to go ahead and make this.
That's awesome. Well,
the detective, he finds a piece of shit on ceiling and knows Bugman is around.
I do have to say, like, some things that I really appreciated about this movie was that, first of all, the girl who plays Ophelia, Ivana Baquero, fucking amazing. Like, when you consider the fact that she was acting against, what do you call them? Like stand-ins and like with a lot of, graphics that were added in after the fact, it's pretty goddamn amazing. Like what she was doing at such a young age, like how well she acted.
But, she does act to a ball better than Will Smith does.
I mean, come for us, Will Smith.
Everybody's better than Will Smith. I guess that's my thesis here.
Not wrong.
She won a bunch of awards for best female performance and best new actor. A bunch of stuff, including for this, she won the Best New Actress Award at the Goya Awards. So, I mean, there were a lot of things. She got her respect due. And, of course, this also includes Doug Jones. I love, love, love Doug Jones. Do you remember when you were younger and you were watching Hocus Pocus and you felt kind of tight in your pants and you thought, am I into zombies? Whenever Billy would come onto the screen. No, you realize later that you're not actually into zombie porn. You're into Doug Jones, that hot ass creature actor motherfucker who is, I don't know how, but he's 62 years old now. Or 61, which doesn't seem right, but because I think that he should
I'm
be
sure
a Highlander.
He doesn't think it's right either.
No, probably not. but yeah, he's been in I want to say two Nicolas Cage movies that those chumps on Cage's Kiss covered, and he's been on. He, of course, was Billy in Hocus Pocus. He was the creature in The Shape of Water. And in Hellboy, he was Abe Sapien. He's been in so much, you guys. Like,
yeah, he's like the only guy thin enough to fit into these suits.
Yeah, and it's not just
That'll
about being a good actor, but it's also about being like athletic enough to be able to handle all this because he spent a good deal of his time like crouched down and kind of squatting in his costume for the Fawn. But excuse me, he was also in Star Trek Discovery as Saru, which always like Saru in Japanese means monkey. So I was like, oh, it's a Saru. Anywho.
You see that dude with that face?
Yeah, the guy with the face. Yeah, yeah. I can't believe you remember him. So, and he was
adaptation. I only watched one episode of Star Trek Discovery, and then I was done.
Oh. Good. Yeah. But also, he was in What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series, and as the Baron. But he's been in a lot of things, and for this role in particular, he actually learned to speak Spanish, although he's not a Spanish speaker. But he still, Guillermo del Toro went with a theater actor to go over his lines. But I still thought, like, wow, he didn't even need to, and he learned Spanish for this. But he's an actor's actor, man. He's pretty goddamn amazing.
It's only the second most spoken language in the world.
But also, like, if you listen to the Bedknobs and Broomflicks episode where we cover Hocus Pocus, which I'm sorry I don't enjoy it, but I did enjoy his performance, and I talk a bit about how he went above and beyond for that movie, because he doesn't do anything half-assed. He, like, brings everything to his roles. So, love you, Doug Jones.
And Ivana is also still doing work. She's actually in The High Seas currently on Netflix. They're about to go into, I think, their third season, maybe?
Second. Yeah, that looked interesting. They're all acting and are still acting. I mean, it was just 15 years ago, but it doesn't feel like it's been 15 years all at the same time.
You realize it.
But, yeah. So, what did you guys think about the...
I thought a giant toad vomited a bunch of ambergris and she had to pull a sticky key out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happened.
Went on an adventure.
That show. This movie is kind of like Bernardo Bertolucci's 1900 meets Wizard of Oz. More 1900 than Wizard of Oz, which makes sense since 1900 is 5 hours long and Wizard of Oz is like 100 minutes long.
Okay.
So what you get is you get your flights of fancy, and then you get a man's face being graphically beat in with the bottle, and then the guy with him is like, wait a second, something ain't right here. Oh no, 6 bullets right directly into me. My doctor said I can't have those in my body at any time.
I have a lead allergy.
I hope somebody doesn't cut the edge of my mouth open wider later on. Oh, let's see what's in the bag here. Papers, driver's license, condom, dreaming, right? Like, oh, they were shooting rabbits. You fucking guys, you made me kill 2 people, and he had a rabbit.
You guys.
Maybe next time, don't put that job searching them.
He's searching these motherfuckers. Ah,
and they were like,
comrade.
It's not like I'm a rebel or nothing, but your child might not be a boy, and you have a small penis. Like, don't fuck with me, doctor.
That's actually a better part. I liked his hairy penis commander guy because he was just such a joy. It's like they go and find the camp of the rebels destroyed. Like, hey, this guy left his lottery ticket here. He just gets so excited, like he might have actually won something there. Like, oh, finally, I can ditch this place and go off to Colombia and go... Enjoy the beaches.
I'm living my dream.
I'm going to live my best life.
Yeah, even when they like capture the lady and like after Mercedes, and then she's like, "I will kill myself before I go before Generalissimo." He's like, "Oh, come on, do it! I want to see you do it. This will be so much better than like not having you go with us." It's like, oh.
Well, he actually says, "Like, I'd prefer you let me kill you."
Yeah. The man just enjoyed his job. He was there to like just fuck around. It was awesome.
And she of course was played by Maribel Verdú, who was fucking amazing. But yeah, I loved like all the cast. There wasn't one cast member that I was just like, eh.
It happens normally when you have a bunch of people that normally don't get any kind of sight by Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because you just get used to so many of the same beautiful faces that we don't need playing these roles.
And well, that's kind of what he was saying. He was like, you can't have this fairy tale told by, like, with the characters, you can't write a character for, like, a Nick Cassavetes character in here. Like,
come on. Are you really saying that you don't think this would have been better with Nicole Kidman?
Well, then it's like with a lot of those films, it just becomes their movie. And it's like, you can't, like you said, you can't really do that for some films.
This movie makes me sad. We need to go for a PG-13 rating.
No, I like the movie. It's just I liked it because it was one of the first ones that got me going in the whole thing of I like that all of her challenges, quote unquote, are all reflective of what is happening in the real world. So it's like, was she actually helping or was this her interpretation of what had happened when, like, say she goes to get the key and then we find out that, okay, somebody had gotten the key to get in the storage room. And then later on, getting into the storage room filled with all the food and supplies, and then getting so tempted by this because you've been fucking starving since nobody else has any of the goddamn food, to get yourself almost caught in that situation.
That's a pretty good point. I mean, like, you know, from that viewpoint, this is kind of like Sucker Punch if that movie wasn't for idiots.
And it wasn't just so fucking full of its own dick.
Just complete
Thinking about choosing Sucker Punch just to piss you guys off.
Yeah, say that about exactly everything. What it done. It's always but, like, I'm going to choose a movie with women to see you men go,
No, that wasn't it. It wasn't because it has women, but, well, I actually love the music from it, but speaking that's about of, it. But it's, I know that you guys hate it. I didn't care much for it, but anyway. But going off of what Donnie was saying, though, is there was, like, Guillermo del Toro talks about the, like, the juxtaposition of the things that, like you were just, you spotted, where he was saying, like, there's a key in, reality, and then there's the key that she has to get. There's the dining hall or banquet of the general, where, there's also the, banquet, dining hall, very elaborate of the pale man, and then there's also the knife that she has to retrieve, and there's the knife that Mercedes keeps on her that ends up.
On that note, there is a movie from around the same time that did that same sort of thing, and I personally believe did it much much better. Feel free to disagree, but that would be Tar Sim Sings The Fall.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
Because that one was very, very character intensive. And it's gorgeous. It's shot all around the world. It also has a wonderful performance by a child, which is a rare thing. And the fantasy is all tied up about the stuntman trying to get the little girl to bring him morphine.
One of my old coworkers was telling me about that and saying it's one of his favorite movies. I've been trying to find it.
We had a discussion about that, about how it's impossible to find now almost because
even though it got like a major DVD release when it came out. You know, like I don't know why that movie was so buried. I mean, because Tar Sim Sing's movie right before that and right after that both got major releases. So I don't understand. I really don't.
Well,
but speaking of pissing people off
and Lost in Space.
But what I appreciated most about Pan's Labyrinth was that when I worked at the Hollywood Video, people would bring it up to me and say, why is it in Spanish? I'm like, well, funny thing is that it's a Spanish language movie and they make those in Spanish. Funny thing, Mexico, Spain, they kind of speak it there. Like, and they'd be like, why is it rated R? I'm like, oh, you see, like it says in the box there, it's one of those R-rated movies. Yeah, restricted. Yeah. That's why they label these things. You see there on the back where it says MPA R rating and Spanish language? Oh, you didn't look? Oh, how about that? Huh? Well, whose fault is that?
Well, yeah, it's funny because if you Google it, one of the things that comes up is, why is Pan's Labyrinth rated R?
Yeah, it's a fucking horrific movie set in the Spanish Civil War. It ain't for your goddamn kids. It ain't Pokemon forever.
People wanting to know, why is this movie in R rating? And why is it not in the language of the English people? Why are they speaking in Taco Bell?
Why is it not in American?
Funny thing about that.
Thank you.
Fuck you. You goddamn trash monster. Did you just heave that bottle over your shoulder?
So a lot of these reviews I found had a lot of people who were questioning things like, why is this in fucking Spanish? Where's the English dub? We've had so many years that we could have had this. Why don't we have it? I ignored those reviews.
I want everything in English.
Yeah, it's like, damn it. We have every other language represented in these movies. Why is this one not in the language of the people? But I thankfully ignored those reviews.
I'm sure there were times.
Oh, well, actually, and Linda should be happy about this. This film has, at least on Amazon, especially on Amazon, about 3% of people gave this one-star reviews.
Okay.
Wow.
And a large portion of them, and I mean overwhelmingly, are people that either said this wasn't the movie they wanted to order, and that was one of the funniest things I have to mention, is somebody
My
for
kid
some
ordered reason, it.
They got The Postman instead of Pan's Labyrinth, which, I mean, it's kind of the same film, if you think about it.
Yeah, same story.
Not.
One has Tom Petty and the other doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. He used is to be exactly, famous.
Tom Petty looks like the Fawn now more than ever. I can assure you of this.
Oh, God damn it, Donnie.
Oh, don't do me like that.
Right. Bad Fawn O'Ran.
Now, I have a structure to these reviews I chose specifically. Because much like the movie, we're going to end this on a very sad note. And you can't laugh or you will go to hell. I am promising you this.
Shit.
So we begin. Incredibly depressing. I expect more of a fantasy movie. This was just a war movie with a hint of fantasy. The human plot line was predictable in the first few minutes of the film. No shit. Stepdaughter doesn't like new villainous stepfather. Stepfather doesn't like new stepdaughter, and it continued throughout the film. Plus, lots of foreboding lines that signal what's ahead. You better not. Or, there's only one key, right? Gee whiz. And too many scenes that plodded along. The humans were entirely predictable. The only suspense was whether there was any duplicity to be revealed in the supernatural plot line. It would have been far better and more interesting a movie if the supernatural story had been given more time and substance. Not to mention the gratuitous torture. Tip, if you don't like the first torture scene, call it a day. That was just an appetizer for the full course. There are more and far worse scenes ahead. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
You're supposed to enjoy torture scenes in movies.
I have to say that I love that they overlooked entirely the fact that her stepfather was a torturous, villainous, murdering general.
Well, why does it have to be a cliche like that? Why couldn't they get to be friends?
To stepdaughter doesn't like villainous stepdad. It's just...
Why can't the hero and villain just make friends?
And I wish they could have spent more time with the supernatural. It was 2 hours long. Shut the fuck up.
It's the same running time as Citizen Kane. I think that's long enough for any movie.
I knew from the start it was going to be dark. But not only was it dark, it was really sadistic. The rabbit scene was just so horrible that I really don't think I've ever seen anything that bad. To think this is a fairy tale? I don't know who would tell this even to an adult as a fairy tale.
Oh, for fuck's sake. He's never read like an original fairy tale, or she.
As Mr. Guillermo says, a nighttime story. Yeah, if you want someone to die of a heart attack or have lifelong nightmares.
Wow!
I'd hate to see what he calls a horror story. Sorry, I even had to give it 1 star. I would give it -5 stars.
Wow, someone's
okay.
A ballsack.
It'll never be okay. Yeah, you can't depict violence.
You know, this is why they have that site, Does the Dog Die? You just put in the movie title, and it'll tell you if any animals die, and then you don't have to see it and be traumatized.
Does the dog die in Marley and Me? And I'm like, I don't know, watch it. They're like, no, I need to know beforehand. I'm like, well, that would be spoiling it.
It's tortured.
And I'm like, hey, man, everybody dies. Every story long enough, everybody dies. And
just
then
like
the girl says to me, not Edward and Bella, they never die. And I'm like, Stephanie God. Meyer isn't God, and that wasn't the Bible. You can't tell me what to do.
Speaking of the Bible, we are now at the peak of the mountain before the fall.
Okay.
Politics and religion, the subjects we are enjoined to avoid, unless one makes a movie. I have no vested interest in the Spanish Civil War, but I can tell blatant propaganda and straw men when I see them.
What? This is
such a film created under the guise of pantheistic fable. All the nationalists are bloody murderers who wear jackboots and torture for fun.
They were.
The clergy, of course, is given its opportunities for evil. Meanwhile, the Republicans are simple peasants fighting for peace and justice. I think neither was the case. Sadly, it was, in fact, a war. The fantasy part is a mere masquerade to promote Lopez's take on political history, as though Crazy Horse made a movie about the European conquest of North America with the benevolent Great Spirit juxtaposing how wonderful things used to be.
So, oh my God. So parentheses, I hate engines too. Is that what you're saying?
Schindler's List was propaganda.
Why do they make the Nazis so mean all the time?
Hashtag not all Nazis.
But there was a lot more going on that I think I'll stick to stuff. The story itself was confusing.
I'm sorry, did I hit something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The production, special effects, and acting were quite good. That is all they had to say except for wanton, unnecessary violence, sadistic cruelty, shooting children, eating children, shooting unarmed, wounded men, shooting innocent suspects, death, death, death. This movie is so filled with gratuitous violence and suffering, I do not know how anyone can watch it. I will warn everyone against this movie.
I just picture that the listeners really truly appreciate what I do. And I love when you pronounce wanton.
Well, yeah. It's the little thing. It's like you're doing the white thing of over-pronunciating Spanish names.
It's what, like, are you talking about, Tony?
When we had to live in California and you would say things like, La Puente, Hills. La Puente.
That's how it's pronounced, fucker.
If you're saying it slow, that's how you could tell you're the white person.
Now.
La Puente.
Do not, you got one more? Under any circumstance, laugh during this, or I assure you, you will go to the hell where this lady is apparently princess of.
Okay.
My wife is a visually impaired person. And has been wanting to watch this movie, but she can't read subtitles. I have been waiting for them to release a version of it dubbed in English for her, but they never had. Imagine my surprise when I find the 10th anniversary edition that says it has English dubbing, but you have to have a region-free Blu-ray player. It was a no-brainer. I ordered the movie and a region-free Blu-ray player for her as a gift. I got the Blu-ray player in 2 days, waited about 2 weeks for the movie, only to discover it had no dubbed version of the movie at all. We could have just watched it on Amazon Prime and saved $150.
Kalastima. Que sorpresa.
Now you can laugh.
How dare you, Mr. Del Toro. How dare you hold it?
I remember this. Like, what that guy's saying is not a lie. Like, there was a thing on, not on Amazon, but like way back when the anniversary edition of this came out that said it had English dub. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Why the fuck would they do that? And then when I looked on the back, it wasn't listed. It was only on a sticker on the front. But on the back, it just said English subtitles. That's it. There was no English language track.
Blame Warner Brothers for fucking up.
Yeah.
But I also do really think that's fucked up that this dude has a blind wife that's like, I want to watch this movie. I want to experience and listen to it. And like, oh, we'll do everything we can since you don't know Spanish. It's like, oh, fuck, I just bought a region-free player and a Blu-ray, and it won't play.
Well, you know what would be the cheapest thing since she ain't gonna learn to fucking see? Teach her some goddamn Spanish. God.
I mean, you do have to kind of feel for that guy. I mean, I would get pretty upset,
spoken on three continents and several islands.
I do, but I also...
I have to agree with him.
Yeah. It's... Oh, God. And again, there were so many reviews I had to cancel out, because if not things like people getting the postman instead of this movie, you had a lot of things of, I did not order this. My children pushed on it to order this. And then others being horrified parents going, this is not a children's movie. Give me my money back. It was just, it was glorious. Aside the people that were very racist.
I ordered some perfectly delightful family films. I ordered Solo. Hellraiser. What is this? These aren't the family films I was promised. No. Crash. I thought it was going to be a sequel to Cars. I thought it was going to have Lightning McQueen in it.
There was no Tomato in Crash.
Where's Larry the Cable Guy? Why is? Oh, he's getting her done. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
Audiences, am I right?
But
the Spanish Civil War was a war. It was equal. Everybody was right and everybody was wrong.
You just have to see it from both views.
I don't want no politicking in my movies.
Oh, Lord.
What about the good things Franco did?
Yeah, right. God damn it. And of course, listeners, we're talking about James Franco.
Yeah, he's just about the same, really. Generalissimo Francisco Franco, people coming into his acting school, getting felt up and then shot up. You know,
the even rain of James
so
Franco.
Distances himself from you.
So are you. I do love how this movie is all about, like, choices and obedience and disobedience and like knowing when to be true to yourself and choosing that civil disobedience, I guess.
Sometimes you just gotta stab the baby to open the portal. It's just how it works.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, David Bowie was pretty explicit in this.
What? Oh yeah. Oh, and speaking of showing the package,
dancing. Check out the Fawn's package.
The Fawn has the package.
Well, they all do. It's
if
the
you
one
watch
of them.
The behind the scenes featurettes, you do see that he has a danger.
Yeah.
He has a
this
tail
is,
and
this
a danger.
This movie is just as good as Suburban Sasquatch.
Yes. Yeah.
And it falls in the tradition of Alien Resurrection, where the alien that was made from Ripley has a giant gaping vagina from its stomach hole down across its ass. Yeah, they kind of drew a line there. French people are weird.
Oh, God. Okay. I may have peed myself a little with that cough.
Did Nicolas Cage choke you out? Because it looks like you're vanishing into the spirit world.
I think he is. It's because he got stuck in the spirit world, getting into character for his new ghost movie.
Yeah, Prisoners of the Ghostland. Yeah.
I heard what you said about me, you fuckers. Oh, God, it's like Shocker. He's coming through the internet for all of us.
Well, his whole career since we started Onward has basically been despite us, so.
Yeah.
To avoid us. So, do you guys feel like we've covered it?
Well,
there's a segment there.
Yeah, we got a spin doctor this thing up. We got to.
We do that thing, don't we?
Oh, that sounds...
Do that thing. Do that thing. What?
I'm not the lover. Adrian, you want to start us off?
I'm Dr. Love. Oh, well, naturally. Okay, so, Azophilia, Douglas Fairbanks Sr. as her mother, Mary Pickford, as Alfano, Charles Chaplin, as lead fascist, I'm gonna go with, Buster Keaton. As the doctor, since he's already got glasses on, Harold Lloyd. Naturally, this is going to be directed by Raoul Walsh and photographed by F.W. Murnau, because this is going to be a German silent film made before there was even a Spanish Civil War.
Oh my.
Wow.
You get the live score with the organist in there, you know? And, but of course, it'll have the same level of violence and all that, you know.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And Donnie?
The Spanish Boar. Join the fight. The fight against boredom. An expectant mother and her daughter drive out to their new home and life in a forest cottage. It soon becomes painfully obvious to everyone that war can be a real chore. Faced with a strict new father leading an army of fun-hating men focusing on stamping out the Spanish clown squad in an upcoming talent show, Ophelia feels even more out of place than she did finding her dad in a dress before their mom divorced them. She has no talent of her own, but feels like she is the key to saving the clowns of Spain and silly square town. Well, help comes to her in the most unlikely of forms. A forest fawn, played by Gonzo the Great, and his feathery fluttering chicken friends, King Fozzie, Kermit the Frog as the giant toad, Miss Piggy as the eyeless child-devouring whore,
I don't feel too well,
Peppy the Shrimp as her little brother, the Muppets will do everything in their power to help Ophelia find her talent and possibly even get her to accept her new home. Sam Eagle plays Captain Vidal, Swedish Chef as Mercedes, and Bunsen Honeydew as Dr. Ferrario, and Jim Henson's The Muppet Spanish Boar. You're welcome.
Can you picture that?
With music written by Paul Williams.
Yes.
Of course it is.
Well, obviously. He's still alive.
A dream was made for heaven, not for earth.
I just want to see Kermit turn inside out. That was all.
Oh, God.
I don't feel so good, bro.
There was nothing funny about him.
I'm sorry. Since I've been sick, I haven't really put much thought into a script doctor.
It's kind of hard.
But especially with this, because I mean, I saw everything I wanted to see with this. The only thing I would do is maybe turn it into a porn with all people of age, of course. And what's that?
Or the Golden Girls.
But I mean, I would like to see it turned into porn, and like, you know, she goes up to the frog man and she's like, eat these nuts. And he's like, oh no. Turns inside out, shits out a key. And, I think I'd like to see that. But also, if I had to recast it, the only recasting I would do, although I love Doug Jones, love, I would replace him with Steve Buscemi without makeup. And that's not, you know, ragging on Steve Buscemi. That's just saying, man, like, don't cover that up. You got to get that beauty on screen.
Not gonna lie, I don't want to see that with the Golden Girls now. I want to see their mom playing the fawn. I just dressed for the Golden Girls.
I can't remember my lines. So.
Yeah, she had a hard time remembering her lines and freezing up, so I don't know.
Yeah.
No es mano.
Yeah. Why did you eat those grapes? Don't you get enough food at home?
Take me out in that Stallone movie.
Which, honestly, that girl was kind of a bitch to those fairies. They're like, yeah, woman, what the hell are you doing? She's like, I want me some grapes. Back off.
She was told, what, like twice not to eat the food? And then the fairies are like, dude, don't fucking do it. Don't fucking do it. And she's just like,
bitch, you did it.
And then she watches them get devoured. Which, by the way, the guy who did the effects has also worked on a couple of Romero zombie films. And he brought up that idea with Del Toro, and Del Toro's like, yes, Romero it up, zombie it up.
I want the CD keys devoured.
So they're devoured. And by the way, he also, Del Toro said that it is, like, while a lot of people have different opinions on whether it's real or not, and it's left a little ambiguous, he says that the answer is like that it was real, that it was really happening.
The narrator told us it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Sometimes
that's
shit ain't that tricky.
You have to know where to look to see the signs. So, yeah.
There was a dead child at the well. She died in the beginning. Her blood went into her body.
Yeah.
But she did go to the underworld to serve as princess. So, yeah. And stuff.
Until Dr. David Cronenberg came looking for her. Then shit got complicated.
Yeah.
And she had a VCR vagina in her stomach.
Who doesn't? All.
Alien 4, VCR vagina in the stomach.
Oh, no.
I'm going to take him out with his tape. No, bitch, that's Betamax. What do you think you're doing?
A new movie from Videorama. VCR vagina stomach.
Speaking of VCR vagina stomach, YouTube viewers, check out my new intro for the show.
Yay. And I guess with that, I say, please listen, follow, rate, and review Videorama on Apple Podcasts, especially because it will earn you an on-air shout out. And check out our stuff on YouTube. You could see our angelic faces, and you could see that when I said I peed myself, it's because I coughed really hard. And you miss all these fun little details, and you miss Adrian's awesome animations and graphics by just listening. So if you can, watch us on YouTube, and make sure to smash that subscribe button and that bell. Make sure to hit like. And remember, you can find us, Videorama, on the Twitters. At Videorama P, the letter P for podcast. And you can visit our website at videoramapod.com. And you can write to us at videoramapod@gmail.com. Check out my other podcast about witches in history and stories of all media, Bedknobs and Broomflicks. That's Broomflicks. You know, we're enjoyable. And this is how I got sick, because we got them licks in the end. Adrian, where can the people find you?
Oh dear me, you know, I'm on the DeviantArt.com under Leo the Fox, LEOTHEFOX, all lowercase, all run together, all one word. 3,000 artworks shall you find there, and most of it's visual images, some of it's stories and chapters and shit. You need to click on them to find out which, and if it's a story, you just got to read the whole thing.
Word.
Just read it. Dude, they're not that long.
Prince not dead.
Prince isn't dead? Oh my god.
He lives on a comet with Elvis.
Oh my god. You
no,
heard it here.
No, Prince is dead. I am the Unreal Goals on the Twitter. I am Stilgar the Twi'lek on the Instagram. I am Unreal Goals also on fucking YouTuber, and I've got another project coming up on that if I actually get my lazy ass up and moving, because I have that, and I also have the wisdom in a blobble, and I'll be behind St. Vinny's petting various raccoons because I am their king now.
Oh, raccoons.
I'm the rat queen.
It works. Queen Oretta.
I love bunnies.
Bun Buns.
Not in this movie.
Most of Donnie's stuff, like Donnie's reviews on cageskiss.com.
Yeah.
And next week we'll be joined by our brother from another fairy pod mother, Chris Roberts from I Saw It on Linden Street. Love that dude. And until then, fuerte al videorama. Larga vida a la nueva carne.
And a Taco El Grande to you too.
I am going to be getting some Taco Bell.
Is that the one that goes? You're trying now.
Play us off with the sax, Donnie.
Yeah.